శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామ్యహం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీపాదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం సజీవం సాధైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపాదం సహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీ నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణీ నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది వంచాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరి హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరి నారాయణ నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయ ఉదీయరే నారాయణ నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయ ఉదీయరే నారాయణ నమస్కృత్యం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయ ఉదీయరే I forgot whether today is the fourth day or fifth day of the Mahabharata, but anyway, welcome.
Fourth.
Okay. Welcome. The Mahabharata is such a text, as I said in the Adi Parva, if it is not here in this book, it is nowhere else on earth. Right? And whatever is there on earth is also in this book. That's what the first book says. Welcome in. She apparently doesn't like the Mahabharata. That's fine.
Yeah.
She is busy. Yeah, I understand. I'm joking. And so far we have discussed why Vyasadeva had to rewrite the Mahabharata in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have been closely following the incidents mentioned in the Bhagavat to understand the Mahabharata. And we've discussed how the Pandavas were born, how Dhritarashtra and Pandu and Vidura was born, what happened after that, and how Arjuna was trained by Dronacharya, and how Drupada was kidnapped, and how the kingdom was, how Drupada's kingdom was divided. And we also, did we go into Varnavarsha, the house of lakh? And yeah, we discussed how the house of lakh was burned, and how the Pandavas escaped. And how they came to Khandavaprastha. I think we stopped there. Mm-hmm. Right?
So this after Draupadi also we discussed?
Oh, we discussed the Swayamvara of Draupadi and yeah, that was before Khandavaprastha. Yeah, but thanks for mentioning. That incident happened before the Pandavas came to Khandavaprastha. So, Chanakya Pandit in his Niti Shastra say, do not go to a country, do not reside in a country where there are no doctors and there is no king. Because two things you are going to require no matter what happens is a doctor and a king. We should add lawyers. Right. Because if there is no king, then there is lawlessness. That means the security that you have is practically shaky. And in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a prediction that in the age of Kali, there will be numerous kings ruling over the planet who will rip its citizens off their possessions, including their homes and wives, where people will have to run away to the forests, right, just to avoid taxes and these demoniac kings. I wonder where they will go because they are thinning of the forests too. Right? But several thousand years ago, the kingdom of Kuru was faced with a similar situation. There was no king. And Bhishma was an able king, but he took a vow that he would not rule. And therefore, Dhritarashtra and Pandu have to come through Vyasadeva. But also, in the Smritis, it is mentioned that a king cannot be blind. Right? Therefore, and it is also mentioned that the eldest son of a king has to become a king. So there was a dharma sankata, a problem of religion. Which means, Dhritarashtra, who was the elder brother, was technically supposed to be the king, but he could not be the king. Do you follow? He could not be the king because he was blind. And then Pandu became the king. And we discussed how Pandu died in the forest and Madri went with him. And so they were left with no options. Dhritarashtra became the king. And then Dhritarashtra was a very shaky kind of a character. On one hand, he had Bhishma and Vidura as his counselors. On the other hand, his heart was so weak that he was dictated not by his intelligence or by the intelligence of other intelligent people, but by whatever his heart told him. Very intuition driven. For example, when Duryodhana was born, jackals started howling. Yes, it's mentioned in the Mahabharata. And there were so many inauspicious signs that were prominent in the kingdom of the Kurus. But, and Vidura told Dhritarashtra that this is time you abandon your son for the sake of the rest of the kingdom. And this is a precept which had been said by previous kings. Lord Ramchandra had to give up his beloved wife for the kingdom. And in King Dushyanta had to initially refuse his wife for the sake of the kingdom. Right? But when Duryodhana was, the Dhritarashtra was so attracted to Duryodhana, he said, no, I cannot do this. Whatever be the fate, let it happen. So anyway, as they grew up, Yudhishthir and the Pandavas, the other Pandavas, came to Khandavaprastha, and there Maya, and later on, Maya, an engineer, a celestial engineer, built a beautiful palace for them in the city of Indraprastha. And this palace was amazing. It was like an airplane. It could float in the air. Just imagine a big palace floating in the air. Right? And Yudhishthir Maharaj, he thought that now it is right time that we do an Ashwamedha Yajna. How many of you know what an Ashwamedha Yajna is? Heart sacrifice? That is my cheating paper. Horse sacrifice? Are you aware of a horse sacrifice? Do you know what it is?
I don't know in detail.
Whatever you know.
No, as far as I remember, it's a sacrifice where the brahmanas are sacrificing a horse into the fire, and if they are very successful, if they are pure brahmanas, they can get out a new horse, or the horse can get a new young body again.
Right. And do you know how it is done? The principle is, they get a horse. Hare Krishna, welcome.
Hare Krishna.
The king gets a horse and he sends it out, right? And this horse travels from kingdom to kingdom. This horse travels from kingdom to kingdom, right? And it is guarded by several soldiers. If the local king of that kingdom does not accept the superiority of the person who sends the horse, he fights. If he accepts, then he starts giving taxes. Right? In this way, you can avoid a big war. At the same time, you know, claim a lot of land. And after a long time, the horse comes back, and the horse represents the power of all the kingdoms that he has been through. Right? And then it is sacrificed, as you said, you know, it is sacrificed anew, you know, in order to give the horse a new life. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj thought that let me do a horse sacrifice because now we have a new kingdom. And they consulted the brahmanas and they were still like very disturbed. They couldn't really come to a conclusion. And you know what they did? They went to Krishna. You know that there is some when times of trouble. That song, Let It Be, by the Beatles.
Yeah.
In times of trouble, Mother Mary sang to me, or something. Anyway, but Pandavas were one step ahead of that song. They went to Krishna and said, Krishna, whatever you say, let it be. And Krishna said, it's a very good idea to have a horse sacrifice, but are you aware of a king called Jarasandha? Comes from your place. Jarasandha was the king of Anga, Magadha, right? Which is in the present day of Bihar, in the present state of Bihar. And there is a city called Rajgir. Heard of it? Famous city, huh?
Yeah.
Rajgir.
Yeah.
It is there. Rajgir.
The place of Mahavir, actually.
Yeah, it's also Mahavir Jain was there.
It's more famous for Mahavir.
Yeah, but there is a place called Mahavira.
Who is that?
Mahavir Jain, the founder of Jainism, like the 24th Tirthankara. So, that place was the palace of the king Jarasandha. It was called Rajgriha. The word Rajgir in Sanskrit is called Rajagriha, which means Raja King Griha House, the house of the king. And Krishna says, first you have to defeat him, because he is very powerful and he has kept captive many kings in his jail. So Krishna told Yudhishthira, give me Bhima and Arjuna and I'll go with them to defeat him. And when the three of them approached Jarasandha started laughing. What are you up to? What do you want? He said, we want to fight you. And Jarasandha had defeated so many kings, he thought, you know, these three, you know, they're like puppets. And then Krishna challenged Jarasandha. Choose any one of us and we will come and fight with you. Jarasandha said, let it be. He said, Bhima. So Jarasandha started fighting with Bhima. And you know when the fighting started? It's a very auspicious day. On the first day of Kartik. Very a nice thing to start on Kartik, right? battle with a demoniac king. And they started fighting, and then it went on for 13 days, just wrestling with Bhima. Right? And some versions say that, you know, Jarasandha, when he was born, he was like born in two pieces. And then he was put together. And then Krishna was watching the fight and watching Bhima lose. And then Krishna took up a banana leaf, tore it into two pieces, flipped one on one side and flipped the other on the other. Because even if Bhima ripped apart Jarasandha, they just came together. Like, you know, the two parts of his body were like two magnets. Just so Krishna tore that leaf and Bhima got that indication. He picked Jarasandha up, he whirled him in the wind, and he ripped him apart and threw two pieces on two sides. And thus he won the battle. Ecstatic characters. Just imagine. I mean, just ripping a person apart is gross enough, and then if he comes together, far out.
And the ripping was exactly half.
Yes, and when Bhima ripped, it was exactly half of Jarasandha. Sandhya is like coming together, and Jara is material. Or so there's two materials coming together is Jarasandha. And that's why he was invincible. He just like, he could just come back to life. You know, like these, when I was a kid, I don't know, you probably have it here too, like these air jokers. You know, you know, like a balloon, plastic balloon, with a joker's face and a nose, and then you have a sandbag at the bottom. No matter how much you punch it, it just comes back. Uh-huh. You keep on punching it, it just like, tunk. The Jarasandha was like that. And when Jarasandha was defeated, Krishna went back to Hastinapur, Indraprastha, and they had a big, you know, sacrifice. And Krishna and Yudhishthira Maharaj said that the four brothers should go in four directions and collect wealth. And they did. During that sacrifice, they also invited all the kings and princes they knew, including their ex-enemies, the Kauravas. So Shakuni, Duryodhan and Karna came to the party. Right? And Maya built this palace in such a way that you couldn't understand what was what. So at one point, Duryodhan, while he was walking, he thought in the middle of the palace there was a, you know, big pond of water. And he lifted his dhotis up and started walking around it, when actually there was nothing. And, you know, like, it is said that whenever your neighbors have something, you probably know this, there is an ad in India for a TV company called Onida, and their theme is Neighbors Envy, Owners Pride. Whenever you get Onida TV, your neighbors are envy and you are proud. So that was the thing with their castle and Indraprastha. And immediately there is something happened, you know, that in Duryodhana's heart. What is going on? And at another time, he thought, I have been fooled once, I won't be fooled again. So this time he didn't realize it. He just kept walking. And there was actually a pond inside the palace where you couldn't see anything. You just like, it looked normal. You just like left, right, left, and just like splash in the pond. And everybody started laughing, including the Pandavas and Draupadi and their servants. And Duryodhan kind of took it like, hey, he like, made a fool of himself. But he kind of took it lightly just to save the situation. The servants immediately brought him dry clothes. Right? But he saw Draupadi laughing. That was a big insult. Right? His complete mood changed. Previously, he was just feeling some amount of envy. Now his mood completely changed. He went to Shakuni and said, Shakuni, I can't sleep. You know, I can't eat, I can't do anything. And it's like, help me. how can the Pandavas do so well? And you know, I'm rotting in this old Hastinapur. You know, and they've practically made a huge palace on a barren piece of land. They are, you know, they have been cut down again and again and again and again, and they're doing so well. Of course, Duryodhana did not understand the secret. In the last verse of Gita, it says, wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is his devotees, there has to be success. You can get that point. So Shakuni said, do not worry. I have a plan. And you know, Shakuni, it is said that Shakuni was an expert gambler. Expert. If Shakuni came to Las Vegas, you know what Las Vegas is? If Shakuni came to Las Vegas, you know, the American economic crisis would have happened way earlier. Because Shakuni was from Afghanistan. Right? And he just, he could say, you know, crack, you know, and he, whatever he said came. And in ancient India, this is just for your, you know, clarification, the dices were not square. The dices were like this. They had four sides, long sides. And on one side was 1, 2, 3, and 4. Right? And there were two dices together. Right? And interestingly, if you threw the fourth, if you, it was on the fourth side, that was called the losing throw. And you know what the losing throw is called in Sanskrit? The losing throw of dice? Kali. When you throw the dice and it's the throw which you lose, it's Kalaha, it's Kali. So, and the dice of Shakuni was made from his own father's bones. Shakuni actually, you know, took the bones of his father and made those dice pieces. Very ecstatic. He'd have to be lucky. How could his father let him lose? And he said, I have this dice and I am an expert in gambling. Invite Yudhishthira. I know he cannot refuse me. Right? And then we will take it from there. When Dhritarashtra heard that, Dhritarashtra said, no, don't do this. This is not a very good idea. And Bhishma said, you know, what Duryodhana is doing is going to bring a ruin to our family. I tell you, never ever do this. But Duryodhana is like, please, Papa, please, please, please. You know, like the way kids do. And you know, Duryodhana was so attracted to his son, he wouldn't let, you know, any request from his son go in vain. So he called Vidura and said, Vidura, tell Yudhishthira Maharaj to come from a gambling match because Duryodhana wants it. And Vidura said, what are you doing? It's a big mistake. This is going to be the beginning of your end. Don't do this. And it is often we will see towards the end of the Mahabharata that Gandhari asks Krishna, my dear Krishna, you could have stopped the battle if you wanted. Why didn't you do that? Why did you let so many lives lose? Why did you, you know, wow, you had the power. Why did you do this? And if we look deeper into our philosophy, Krishna says, sadhavo hridaya mama, the saints are my heart. And Vidura, who was so close to Krishna, himself counseled, said, don't do this. Krishna later on will counsel them. But, you know, and a Mahajan like Bhishma also counseled them, but they wouldn't listen. So Vidura went to Yudhishthira and said, Dhritarashtra said you should, they have a gambling match and he's inviting. And Dhritarashtra, just for the sake of the gang, just for that one occasion, made a big palace with 1,000 pillars. Just for that one gambling match. He was so blind for his son. But Vidura said, I don't think it is a very good idea. Yudhishthira mentioned that, I understand, but if a Kshatriya is invited to a gambling match, what can he do? And he said, I promise, I would not play unless they force me to play.
Unless?
They force me to play. Unless they ask me, I won't touch gambling. Then he went there anyway. And, you know, the gambling match started. And when it started, Duryodhan said, Shakuni, you play on my behalf. Duryodhan said, but that is not dharma. You call me to play with me, why don't you play? He said, no. I will give the stakes, Shakuni will play. Right? Yudhishthira said, okay, so be it. No problem. And, you know, he gave his golden chain with embedded with diamonds and jewelry as, what do you call it? What do you call that? Bet. No, there is a word for it. There is a word for putting something, you know. Pawn. Pawn? Stake. Put something at stake. Yeah. He staked his golden necklace. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also staked something. And, you know, Shakuni threw his dice and I won. You lost. What else have you got? He said, I've got all these jewels. 1,000 pots, each filled with 100 coins, golden coins. He said, take that. I stake my gold. You lost it. What else have you got? He said, my palace, my elephants and my servants. Lost. What else have you got? And Yudhishthira is like, completely got into the mood. He said, you're cheating. But he said, no, you just lost it. You are you a poor man? He's like, just put something. And then he said, my brother, Nakula and Sahadeva. And imagine, if I gambled my brother, what would he do to me? Right? He said, Nakula and Sahadeva. And he just gambled him away. And he said, my brother, mighty Bhima. Bhima was gone. Arjun was gone. He said, what else have you left? He said, myself. And Yudhishthira lost himself. And Shakuni said, what else have you got? Come on. And he said, I have my wife, Draupadi. And Duryodhana said, good choice. Because remember he had this, he was upset with Draupadi laughing. He said, very good choice. Give her. And he lost Draupadi. And he asked one of his messengers to fetch Draupadi, and Draupadi came. When his messenger went to him, went to Draupadi, Draupadi heard that Yudhishthira lost everything. He said, ask Yudhishthira whether he lost me first or he lost himself first. If he lost himself first and he, then how can he bet me? Right? If he has already lost himself, he has no right over anybody else. How can he bet me? And this servant thought, very good idea. So he went back and told Duryodhan, no, she's not coming because she said, if Yudhishthira lost himself first, how can he bet her? And Duryodhan said, Dushasan, go and get him. Get her. And Dushasan went there and he was chasing and she was screaming and Dushasan caught her by her hair and just dragged her to the court. And she said, what happened to dharma in Kuru dynasty? What happened to the glory of the Kshatriyas? Fie on you. Right? And he would hardly listen. He was having a good time. He just like dragged Draupadi. And Draupadi was having a period at that time. Right? And it is improper for women in those times to come out in that dress. Draupadi said, please let me dress up. He said, doesn't matter. You're just a slave woman. Just come. And he dragged her by her hair and threw her in the court with Bhishma, Drona, Dhritarashtra, Vidura, everybody looking. And they were heartbroken to see a woman tortured that way. But, you know, when it is said, when somebody is blind, if somebody is spiritually blind, he doesn't see anymore. And Karna started saying, you are a prostitute. You have five husbands. What else is a woman who has five husbands but a prostitute? And Bhima started getting angry and Yudhishthira said, control. Right. And there was,
can I ask one thing?
Maybe we should wait till the end. Just keep your question in mind. We'll come to that. And Duryodhan, you know, he bared his left thigh and said, hey, come sit here. And Bhima got so upset that he said, one day I'm going to break that leg. And he said, Karna started saying, how can a prostitute have any honor? Dushasan, strip her. In the middle, in public. And she is a princess. She is a daughter of King Drupada. She is the wife of the Pandavas. Right? And she started screaming at her husband and said, don't you have any shame? What are you, eunuchs? Your own wife is getting harassed and insulted in front of your own eyes. And, you know, you are called the mighty warriors of the Kuru dynasty. Why can't you do something? Bhishma, you are the grandfather of the whole family. Drona, you are the teacher. Dhritarashtra, you are the king. Say something. But they were silent. Right? And Dushasan started pulling her dress because they wanted to strip her. And as this was going on, she knew that there is only one shelter. We studied during Bhagavatam 2 days back. Krishna is Jagat Dhamma and Param Dhamma. He's the supreme shelter of everyone. Right? And Draupadi, because she is dark skinned, she is called Krishna. Mm-hmm. Of course, Western people say Krishna, Krishna. But Krishna is a feminine word, which means lady dark.
Krishna with a long A.
Krishna with a long A is the dark lady. And Krishna is Krishna, the dark one, Shyama. Right? And in her heart she said, Krishna, only you can save me. Huh? Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpati. Right? You are the ocean of mercy, and you are the savior of the fallen. With a lot of the whole world. Bilumangal Thakur, in one of his poems, he mentions very briefly this incident. He says, Draupadi was crying, Hey Krishna, Hey Jadava, Hey Saketi, Govinda Damo Dharma Dhaveti. Govinda Damo Dharma Dhav, please help me. And a miracle happened. And miracles do happen. And as he was pulling her clothes, new clothes started appearing. Mm-hmm. Out of nowhere. Right? And he pulled. And new clothes. And you know, it was not that she was wearing, you know, 1,000 layers of clothes when she went to the court. She couldn't have run when Dushasana was pulling her hair. It just started appearing. Right? Out of Krishna's own sweet will. And he kept on and on and on and on, and you know, after some time there was like heaps of cloth in the courtyard, in the court, heaps of cloth, and he just like dropped down tired. Krishna again saved the day. And by this time when Dhritarashtra was hearing her screaming, and he felt compassion in his heart and said, enough, alam, alam. Enough, enough, enough. I'm sorry, Draupadi. Ask for a boon. Draupadi was so humiliated and so upset, but yet she said, if you gave me a boon, leave Yudhishthira alone. Free him. Just, yes, 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 he's free. Just tell me what else you want.
Just a boon from
Yudhishthira, the first boon.
Yeah, but from who?
From Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra said, ask any boon you want.
And as a compensation.
As a compensation. You know, we have humiliated you, ask a boon. And she said, Yudhishthira. And he said, no, ask another one. He said, let all the Pandavas be free. Right? And he said, tathastu, let it be. He said, even two boons are not sufficient, ask another one. And he said, I don't want to take advantage of the situation, but if you want, let everything which was lost be gained back. This is Rashi Siddhartha. And due to the grace of Draupadi, the Pandavas who came, lost everything, got back everything, and they went back. And while they were going back, Shakuni was like, oh my God, Hare Krishna. What happened? Whatever I gave, whatever I got, gained is like lost. And Duryodhana was super upset. What have you done? It took so much effort, you know, to get all that. It was like, you know, just imagine a businessman in modern day, you know, he invests something and he gets like 10 times back, and then in a second he loses everything. It's not a funny situation. And Shakuni said, okay, this time they are intelligent. They won't take these things again. Call them back for gambling. Huh? And tell them, this time, whoever loses will go to the forest for 12 years. And in the 13th year, they'll remain incognito. You know what incognito means? In disguise, yeah. They will be hidden, they'll be in disguise. And if they're found out, they'll have to go back again. In this way, we'll be able to control their kingdom and get what we want. Call them. And you know, it is dharma. It is the law that if kshatriyas are invited for a gambling match, they cannot refuse. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was called again and said, will you please come? And of course, people were not very happy. But he went again. Right? And this time, Yudhishthira lost. And they had to go to the forest. And there was one sage called Sage Dhaumya. He said, let me lead you. But before Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas and everybody entered the forest, Vidura suggested, let Kunti stay back. She is frail, she is old, she won't be able to take the hardships of the forest. And he also said, let Draupadi stay back. Five of you go. But Draupadi said, no. A wife goes wherever the husband is. And Kunti said, it is a dharma of women to end your suffering for the sake of the people she loves. And Yudhishthira was bewildered. It's like, I'm going to spend these years in the forest. And how am I going to feed them? So Dhaumya said, worship the sun. Because the sun is the source of all kinds of food. And he maintains the whole planet. Yudhishthira Maharaj started singing the 1008 names of the sun. And the sun personally came down and said, take this pot. This pot will feed you every day. Right? Till Draupadi has her food. Said, you will never go hungry, just take it. And when they entered the forest, several princes from different kingdoms, Chedi, Matsya, they all came to see them and said, what happened to you is wrong, and one day we will make sure that you get back this throne of Hastinapur. And Krishna said, I promise you this will happen. Huh? Anyway, as days went on, that's Samika. As days went on, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, Vyasadeva came to see them in the forest and said, my dear Arjun, you should go to the Himalayas and get divine weapons because you'll need them one day. And so Arjun went and he started doing severe tapasya. And then the demigods, Varuna, came to him. And he said, you will get the weapons you want from Shiva, called Pashupata. Right? And the other demigods will also help you. So as he was meditating, Arjun was undergoing severe penance. He was practically not eating. You know, first he started eating leaves that dropped on the ground. Then he started drinking water. And then he just lived on air. And then he stopped breathing. And after some time, he saw that there was a hunter, a Kedata, who was going around that place. And, you know, and there was another boar, a pig, who was walking around in front of him. So, this hunter took an arrow and tried to shoot the pig, and he shot it, and Arjun shot the pig at the same time. And the hunter said, "Hey, that was my pig." Arjun said, no, that was mine. Right? And the hunter said, "You challenge me?" He said, "You take one more step. You see what happens. See what happens." And Arjun is a mighty warrior. He doesn't, Kshatriya are never afraid of anything. So he challenged the Kirata. And you know, the Kirata and Arjun had such a fight that a brave hero like Arjun was strong, who was like the best warrior in the three worlds, was turned into a ball of flesh. He was beaten up, black, blue, and red. And Arjun, like, lying in the position, said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And this hunter said, "I am Shiva. And I'm very pleased with your bravery. Here is the Pashupata weapon. Learn this." Right. And thus, Shiva took Arjun to the king of Indra and, you know, treated him very well. While Yudhishthir and the other Pandavas were led by the sages on a pilgrimage tour, and they were missing Arjun very much. Right? In one of the pilgrimages, they heard that Arjun had received divine weapons and he was living in the palace of Indra himself. Right? This news also reached the Kaurava camp. He said, "My God, we thought we got rid of the Pandavas, now they are staying in the forest, but we never thought they would turn out so dangerous, start collecting, you know, divine weapons." And they knew who the weapons were meant for. So Karna also thought, "Let me get some divine weapons." Do you see how non-devotees work? They work on the basis of envy. You know, like Duryodhan, just imagine, Duryodhan, you know, neighbors envy owner's pride. Duryodhan, he saw the palace, he said, "I want something like that." He saw, "They have weapons, I want weapons." And in India, the first thing you do when you buy a new car is drive it around your neighborhood. Right? I don't know whether you do it in Sweden. I guess there are hardly any people who look at you.
Yeah, some do.
The first thing you do, you get a car, and you go around your neighborhood, and just to make sure that people are looking, you honk your horn as hard as possible. You know, it's make a lot of noise. Like, what's going on? Oh, he has a new car. So Karna wanted to get weapons. And mind you, Parashuram still had the Pashupata weapon. He was the other person who had it. Right? And Karna dressed up as a Brahman because Parashuram hated Kshatriyas. Karna dressed up as a Brahman and went to Parashuram and said, "Can you give him the weapons?" "Why not?" So he was teaching him the weapons. One day, Parashuram was tired and said, "Can I lay down on your lap?" And he said, "Okay, no problem." So Parashuram was lying on Karna's lap. And at that point, one insect, a very dangerous insect, started making a hole in his knee. You're very sensitive. Started making a hole in Karna's knee. But because his guru was sleeping on his lap, Karna did not budge. He had so much guru bhakti. But what kind of guru bhakti is that? It's guru bhoga. He just wanted to get the thing out of his guru. You know? He lied to his guru. And when he woke up, his guru saw that, you know, there was blood all over. He said, "What have you done?" He said, "Well, Gurudev, you were sleeping. I didn't want to disturb you, so I just tolerated." He said, "You are not a Brahmin. Because a Brahmin does not have so much tolerance. You are a Kshatriya. Only a Kshatriya can tolerate so much." Right? And he said, he snatched away the mantras that are used for the Pashupata weapon. He said, "You lied to me. you know the Pashupata weapon now, but when the time of trouble comes, when it is time to use this weapon, you won't remember the mantras. You will forget them. Hare Krishna. Let it be. Right? And meanwhile, the Pandavas, in their pilgrimage, reached a place called Naimisha. Naimisharanya. And Prabhupada explained in the Bhagavatam, first canto, that Naimisharanya got its name from Animisha. Have you heard of the word Jugaitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Prabhashayatam Sunnaitam Jagatsarvam Govinda Virayename? Jugaitam Nimeshena. Nimesha means blink. Blink of an eye. Nimesha. It's a moment of the blink of an eye. And Animesha is where not even a blink of an eye occurs. Right? And says, because Vishnu never blinks his eyes, therefore, where he resides is Naimisharanya. Look at Jagannath. He never blinks his eyes. Right? Therefore, he is, wherever he is, that is Naimisharanya. And Prabhupada explains that Naimisharanya is the center of this entire material cosmos. It is the pivot of the wheel of this entire cosmos. Everything else turns from there. Right? Mm-hmm. So, when they went there, they heard the good news of Arjuna. Right? And they also thought that, you know, days are passing, maybe we'll gradually come to an end of our stay. And 12 years was actually passing very quickly. I mean, those who are over 12 years old, we probably know how quickly it passes. And Karna, meanwhile, told to Dhritarashtra, we should go and see how the Pandavas are doing. And Dhritarashtra said, it's not a very good idea. Right? So then Karna and Shakuni suggested, if we tell them that we are going to take care of cattle, of cows. You know, we have to inspect cattle. Maybe he'll let us go. And so, on the counsel of Karna, they went to Dhritarashtra and said, you know, they are coming, they are going to take care of cattle. Can we go? Dhritarashtra said, you know, taking care of cattle is a good thing. Go ahead. So Karna, Shakuni and Duryodhan went to see, and Dhritarashtra said, don't go anywhere near the Pandavas, I tell you. If you do, you will be in big trouble. But, as always, people love listening to advice. And people love following them. Especially people who are of Duryodhana's caliber. So they went there to Kamyakavan, the forest where the Pandavas were living. And in the guise of taking care of the cattle, they also wanted to go and finish them off. But as they approached, there were Gandharvas which were protecting the Pandavas. And they started fighting with the Gandharvas. There were hundreds of them. Right? And a big battle between Karna and Karna, mind you, is as good as Arjuna, if not better. There was a big battle between, and Bhima is as good as Duryodhan. Right? And Shakuni is probably as intelligent as Yudhishthira Maharaj. Of course, in a bad way. But, you know, you have the right combination on both sides. And no matter how much they tried, they were completely defeated. And Duryodhan was bound up and he was arrested. And when the Pandavas came to know, Bhima was in ecstasy. Said, more, more, kill them, kill them. And Yudhishthira said, no, Bhima, you should not say like that. When it is between the Kurus and Kauravas and the Pandavas, we are five, there are 100. But when the Gandharvas come, they are the Gandharvas, and they are 105. You see, this is the difference between devotees and non-devotees. Bhagavatam, 4th canto, says, Abhisandhaya yohimsam dhammam matsiryam eva vayin, goes on and on, when the discussion between Indra and Prithu Maharaj says, whenever devotional service is executed in the mode of ignorance and passion, there is bound to be factions and non-cooperation. Himsa, violence, is a motive. Abhisandhi is motive. Abhisandhaya yo himsam, dampam, pride, matsaryam, envy. Violence, pride, envy, and divisions are the motives when one is performing bhakti in the mode of ignorance and passion. Right? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur confirms that in his essay, Bhagavat Philosophy and Ethics. He said, party spirit is the worst enemy of bhakti. Of course, by party spirit, he doesn't mean a Saturday night party spirit. But, you know, the feeling that, you know, he is doing better than me. This feelings of competition is not a Vaishnava thing. But you might ask, well, in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, we see Krishna and his cowherd friend, they're competing. Right? Sometimes you see when Krishna goes out for picnic, you know, the cowherd boys, they race. You know? And they race to reach Krishna. But you can point out, whenever there is a race, there is competition. Whenever there is a race, there is competition. And if there is competition, there is ambition. And if there is ambition, there is envy. You can point out. But the Bhagavatam also explains that when the boys are running and competing with each other to reach Krishna, their mood is, let me run faster so that he is encouraged. Let me run faster and let me reach Krishna first so that the other boy might be encouraged to run faster than me. That is the competition among devotees. It's a competition of love. Right? And there is nirmatsarana. There is no matsar. There is no ambition there. The only ambition is, let him do better than me. Whenever we look at certain devotees who is doing better than us, he says, he's such an inspiration. And when we see somebody who is not doing so well, we speed up our, you know, we speed up our sadhana bhajan so that we can encourage him. That is the competition. But in Duryodhana's party, that was not like it. See the difference between Duryodhana and Yudhishthira Maharaj? Yudhishthira Maharaj said, when the Gandharvas come, we are 105, we are together. Even if he is our enemy, he belongs to my family. I will protect him at any cost. Right? When Duryodhana, you know, went for Duryodhana, he said, even if he is my family, I'll kill him. Because I want to be the king. This is Vaishnava nature. So Arjuna starts killing the Gandharvas in hundreds and thousands. Right? And they scatter and they leave the Pandavas alone. And imagine, Duryodhana. Said, it would have been better to be killed by the Gandharvas than to be saved by the Pandavas. He said, first we are insulted in the Indraprastha with the palace. Next, our plans are ruined by my own father by giving it away. Somehow we managed to send them to the forest. We just come to finish him. And now, instead of us killing them, they save our lives. It was such an emotional mess. Well, just imagine, your worst enemy saves you from the greatest danger. And there is so much envy, you can't even appreciate it. So anyway, at another time, you know, as things were growing and the battle was fast approaching, the sun personally came to Karna. And because Karna is the son of the sun, the S-O-N of the S-U-N. And the sun said, my dear Karna, one day somebody is going to come and ask for your earrings and kavacha. Don't give it by any means. They are your shield. But Karna said, if a Brahmana asks anything from a Kshatriya, how can he refuse? His father said, do it at any cost. Right. But Karna said, and listen to this carefully, Karna said, I am known as one of the most prominent beneficiaries in the world. I am known for giving charity. What will happen to my name if I refuse a Brahmana? Krishna says, say this in the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes in charity is in the mode of ignorance, the abhisandhi, the motive is let people look at me. And yesterday we read from the New Testament, Jesus Christ said, in the temple of the Lord, there are so many people who stand in the marketplace to do charity because they will be observed. Right? And Karna's motive was, what will people tell me? So, as the son said, as his father said, one day Indra came to Karna and said, can I have your earrings and kavacha? And Karna said, oh well, yes, sure. And he said, I'll give you a blessing. He said, when you cut it out, you won't feel any pain and there won't be any scars on your body. Karna was okay, fine, no problem. That kind of solves the problem. And Karna immediately cut off his earrings and his kavacha, and there were no pain and no marks on his body. And Indra was so moved by Karna's charity that Indra gave the Shakti weapon to Karna. He said, but this weapon will not work if you have any other weapons with you. This is the last weapon you can use. This is your last resort. And if you don't follow the rules and regulations of this weapon, instead of killing the person you hurt it at, it will kill you. So be careful. So such were the incidents that were going on in the forest and the pilgrimage places with the Pandavas and in Hastinapur, where the Kauravas were there. And in this way, the Pandavas passed their 12 years. And after 12 years, oh, meanwhile, very interestingly, one sage taught Yudhishthir how to gamble properly. Just to make sure. He said, just imagine, sage is teaching Kshatriyas how to gamble. Far out. In this way, 12 years were over, and it was the 13th year where they were supposed to stay in Gais, and they came to the kingdom of Virata. Right? We will stop here today. Thank you. If you have any questions, comments, we'll go on, or maybe we can have like 15-20 minutes of bhajan talk later on. Go ahead.
What is the logic why they and the culture take part in this gambling?
Good question, because I also come from a Kshatriya family, but I never gambled. It is understood that before you go speak Bhagavad Gita. It is understood that hunting, improper marriages, intoxication and gambling among Kshatriyas are of vice which are allowed. Right? For example, you know, Kshatriyas, they have to practice their weapons, of course. In those days, they had better weapons than Scud missiles. Prabhupada says the Brahmastra was a nuclear weapon. And they had weapons that they could release and also protract. Weapons based on water and fire and earth and loads of other things. Chemical weapons, you could say. Right? But the major weapon was bows and arrows. And they had to kill animals to practice shooting targets. Right? And gambling was a sport. You know, like, I take it this way. People who gamble, like real gamblers, they come from very elite classes, right? You only see very, very rich people go to Las Vegas. That's the capital of gambling on earth, right? And the other gamblers is like hopeless losers, you know? So people who really gamble, they do not gamble everything away, but, you know, they spend some extra amount of money as a sport, right? And kings also play chess. And these are, you know, these are games that reflect the life of a kshatriya in a way. Right? Just being in the position of a king, there is diplomacy and there is chance.
Risks.
Yeah, there is risk. And anybody can attack you from behind, anybody can make poison with your food, you know, your wife can turn against you, your son can kill you, anything can happen. Just being in that position is just so stressful. It's such a big gamble. So that's why it's probably perhaps chess and gambling became royal sports. Right? Many people ask this, like, what? If Yudhishthira is such a, even if he's not a Vaishnava, if he's a Dharmagya, he knows Dharma, he's the son of Dharma himself, why did he do that? He's apparently bound by Dharma. Anything else?
Sorry. Regarding this, I heard from one source, I think in the school, one teacher was teaching that Yudhishthira was addicted to gambling. He was extremely addicted to gambling, so he couldn't refuse. So even the second time, the attraction was so strong that he had to gamble. I don't know if it's the right source or not.
No. I mean, you can comment on anything the way you want. And as Tapas Prabhu was saying, that the motive, the intention of Vyasadeva in writing the Mahabharata was describing the glories of Krishna. But because we are so much steeped in Karmakanda and Jnanakanda, that we see those things most prominently in the Mahabharata. Right? And there is a saying, you hear what you want to hear, and you see what you want to see. Right? Similarly, you know, most of us are so engrossed in these activities, in some form or the other, in the material world, that when we read the Mahabharata, the things, the flaws that are in us, actually come out. In fact, just imagine, Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, it is said that whoever hears the Rasalila of Krishna actually cures the disease of the heart, which is lust. Right? It says Bhagavatam, the effect of hearing the Rasalila of Krishna is you cure lust. What happens to most people when they hear about the Rasa? They get into lust. Right? Sometimes the author intends something and the reader response is completely opposite. So, you know, we have so many flaws, we have so many frailties in us, that when we look at such heroic characters as Yudhishthira Maharaj, we see, oh, he was just like me. Right? On the other hand, maybe he was addicted, I don't know. I don't personally know him. But I think not. Even if he was, it was justified by dharma. Could I? Does that work? Does that... Yes, probably you want to say something?
No, I just thought I once found a book by Tagore.
Which Tagore? Devendranath?
A play called Chitra.
Chitrangada?
Yeah. Was Arjuna on his way to fetch
the wife from
for 1 year or something.
Yeah. And your point is?
Like, no, if you want to mention something.
Okay. About a specific incident?
Yeah. Was he married? No. Did he marry?
Chitrangada came from the modern state of Assam in the northeast. Right? And I can't tell you the exact name of the place, but I know she's from there.
Is that from Manipur?
Yeah, northeast.
That's the place.
Manipur?
Yeah. Manipur.
Okay. Good. And I think it is Assam.
But I read it.
Anyway, we can confirm it.
But it's in...
Anyway, Assam and Manipur are not very far from each other. They're practically the same place, but it's from that region. And Arjuna actually had many wives. He had Subhadra, and then he had Draupadi. And it was just the norm of Kshatriyas to have several wives. Right? One of the reasons behind this is that they led such risky lives. They had such short lives. Right? They expanded their families because then they had more successors. That is one. And the other thing is that because they were kings, they had the money to maintain so many wives. Right? And the other thing about Arjuna's wives is, it is just a norm in India, and it continued even like King Akbar did it, that when you go to a new kingdom, and instead of fighting, you know, waging a war to get property there, what you do is you marry the daughter of the king. Right? That way the king has to give you a certain gift of land. So instead of killing people, instead of making war the bad way, you marry the lady, and you know you get your motive fulfilled. So Arjun was making alliances in different places just by marrying princesses. Three reasons. Does it run? Like, does it?
Yeah. It was a very special.
The bond.
A play.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It is. Tagore is an expert in bringing out inner emotions.
Yeah.
But Prabhupada comments on Tagore and says, Tagore keeps on saying, to me all the time. Who is that to me? Tagore says, you, I love you, I give everything for you. You are my life and soul. Of course, Tagore explicitly says at one point that you is God. He's writing these poems. Most of his poems are like prayers. And in fact, the Gitanjali, the one that won the Nobel Prize, if you read the first poem, it's about Krishna. He says, you know, the sound of your flute actually travels the entire world and has captivated my heart. He's talking about Krishna there, very explicitly. And there's another poem. Tagore was influenced by Vaishnavism, and that was one of the themes in a conference at Radhadesh. He writes a poem, Ami hote chai na navabange navajuger chalok. যদি হতে পারি আমি হতে পারি যদি আমি ব্রজের রাখাল বালক. And that is the time when the independence movement was going on, and they were thinking about creating a new Bengal and all that. And Tagore was right at the head of it, right? And he says, I do not want to become the leader, the king of a new Bengal, if you once gave me the opportunity to become a cowherd boy in the groves of Vrindavan. You know this one?
Yeah.
You know the whole poem?
No, but I...
You heard this one?
Yes.
If you give me one opportunity to roll in the dust with the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, I don't want anything else. So, somewhere he was influenced by Chaitanya Vaishnavas. And he actually also says that somewhere. That he grew up here in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavata. So, we have some Vaishnava in him. Anything else? You're running out of time, right?
You mentioned the words in Srimad
Bhagavatam. Yeah.
Devotional service
can be performed in Sattagun, Rajas, and Tamas. Mm-hmm. Check it up. Abhisandhaya Yohim Sam. Abhisandhaya. Just check up Abhisandhaya on database. Yes.
It's a little bit regarding yesterday, we were speaking about Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That also, like he was preaching the philosophy, like if somebody flips you on one cheek, you should kind of expose the other cheek, like extreme humility and tolerance and mercy and compassion, all these kind of qualities Jesus exhibited. I was just wondering about, like, in our Vaishnava tradition, is it really, how much should we practice this? For example, if somebody is attacking, should we also, like, try to follow this principle? Or how?
I'll give you two examples. One is the example of a modern acharya, Jayaprataka Maharaj. Maharaj was preaching at a university, selling books, when one person started screaming and yelling and abusing him. Right? And you know what he did? He just looked at the person, he said, okay, thank you, and just walked out. And this person was looking for confrontation. And he was like, huh. He was like, dumbstruck. He said, how could somebody just walk out like that after I told him these things? Right? Sometimes that is the best strategy to take up, you know, in situations. The other example, very famous example, is Nityananda Prabhu. And he was singing around the town of Navadvip, you know, Bhaja Gaurango, Kapha Gaurango, you know, Laha Gaurango Ranamare, Gauranga Bhaja Shehaya Mahaprabhu, just sing the names of Gauranga. Whoever sings Gauranga, he becomes my life and soul. And Mahaprabhu sent Haridas Thakur and Nityananda, right? For preaching. And Haridas was an old man. And sometimes Nityananda was very, very naughty. Sometimes he would like pinch children, sometimes he would hold crocodiles from behind and, you know, far out. And, you know, this time he actually poked Jagai and Madhai and says, you know, sing the names. And they were completely drunk. He's like, oh, what happened? And they got upset and they started chasing, and Nityananda was a strong man, he could run away. Haridas Thakur was an old man. He was stuck there, you know, with these two drunks. And he was screaming, and then he went to Mahaprabhu and started complaining, and then Nityananda went back again. And this time they just like took an earthen pot and smashed it on his head. Right? And in return, what did Nityananda do? He just embraced him. Said, thank you. Do whatever you want. But sing the names of Krishna. There are different versions of it. He said, just because you have struck me, does that mean I won't love you? You can't stop my love. So isn't that the philosophy, if somebody hits you on one cheek, show him the other cheek? That is our philosophy. It's just that I will take a little more time to practice it, personally. But I try. I try very hard.
Is it always like recommendable? For example, as I say, we have no real power to kind of do like that, and we become so disturbed by that attack or whatever. Kind of.
Just leave the situation, right? Tapas Prabhu, why don't we just leave the situation? Vaishnavas are usually not confrontational, especially followers of Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu himself tried to kill Jagai Madhai. And he was yelling, Sudarshan, Sudarshan. Nityananda Prabhu said, no, we don't do that anymore. We've already come across that, and we've already transcended that. Yes?
But it's different when you are attacked, or when Prabhupada was attacked in a way that threatened the disciples' faith, then he was not.
But that is philosophical attack, right? Or
you know, but it was attacked on him, he is giving, you know, then he was fighting back in
the... Yeah, and Narottam Das Thakur, just to confirm your point, Narottam Das Thakur sings, and I think we had a seminar on this the first time I came. Kama Krishna Karmarpane, Krodha Bhakta Deshi Jane, Lobha Sadhu Sange Harinam. And he gives on how to use your ripus. He said, when you are attacked, don't retaliate. But if Krishna or his devotees are attacked, then you have full rights to show anger. And in the Sri Vaishnava commentaries of the Ramayana, it is said, of course this is a big topic, maybe next year, that Lord Ram represents the Supreme Person. And Sita Devi represents the Jiva. Right? And Hanuman represents Guru. And Ravana represents the six bad qualities. So the six bad qualities, the ripus, they take the jiva away from Krishna. They forcefully take her away. Right? And the Guru comes to rescue the jiva and take her back to Lord Ram. Just Ramayana in a gist. Right? So Prabhupada says we should be in the level of Madhyana Adhikari. That means we should know how to discriminate. And the Guru knows. He said, you cannot be Guru unless you are on a Madhyama level. Even if you are a Uttama Bhakta, you have to behave on a Madhyama level. You have to discriminate, you have to fight, you have to take care of things in this world. So if a jiva is taken away from Krishna, if it hurts Krishna's interests or the jiva's interests, then we show our anger like Hanuman. We just burn down the city of Lanka. Right? Confirms your point. But if it is us, if we are personally attacked, we don't stop the flow of our love. That's how, at least how I understand it. Of course, you can go on back and forth and on the two sides of the same coin. But that's at least how I understand it. And every time I faced a confrontational situation, I either walked away or in turn just stayed on and just Dari to the person, loved him more and more, and then just solved the problem. I've seen it work. Right? It just happens. Even Gandhi took up that principle. You know, Prabhupada says, Gandhi just took up the principle of Mahaprabhu, what he showed to Chandkas. He was the, Mahaprabhu was the first civil rights organizer. Right? And Gandhi said that there is no, even the toughest fiber on earth can be burned by the fire of love. Right? And it worked. Anything else? What? Maybe we should stop and then we can continue during prasad. Vanchakalpataru hasya kripasindu vittema chamitanam pavane yajyo. Namo namo namo.